Hi guys, welcome again to my podcast. My name is Ozima and welcome to Stories by Ozima. Continuing in the graduate school series, which we started about 2 weeks ago, today on the panel, we're going to be having three amazing Tatans. Top 5%, you know, like they say CME students have top 5%. These ones, they are the top 1% of the top 5%. So I'm just going to say for them to introduce themselves. We have Tejis, Wuye, and Pina. Amazing people, award-winning people. In fact, I'm not even lying, they're really award-winning people. All of them any money, dollars, if you see them on the road, bill them. So who wants to go first? Just tell us about yourself, guys.
Okay, I guess I can start. I am Wuye Job. I'm from the Gambia. And I did a master's in information technology with a focus on software development and applied machine learning. So I've gotten the chance to, I did my undergrad in Ghana and then the master's, of course, in Rwanda. So I'm happy to be here today.
Amazing. Lovely to meet you, Wuye. Anyone wants to go next?
I'm Pages. From Sorry.
But it's okay, Pages. How are you?
I'm Pages. I'm from Ghana, and I spent most of my time in the coastal part of the country, and I love soccer. I'm a Barca fan. I also I'm an alumni from CME Africa, and currently I work as a machine learning engineer at ESAC.
Come on, we're happy to have you here, sir. It's a privilege. Pina?
Sure.
Hi everyone. My name is Pina. It's short for Agrippina, and I'm from Kenya, currently in Rwanda, and wishing to stay for a while. I am a graduate from CMU. I did ECE with a specialization in network technologies. Thank you for having us, Ozzy.
Wow, lovely. Really nice profiles you all have. Guys, let me tell you, they are really trying to be humble. This is not their real face, but it's okay. We'll see as we progress. So guys, how's life after CMU? Has it been fun, interesting, sleepy?
I've been sleeping a lot because I've not started work. So I'm guessing this is like some time to rest and then you can start working next month or so. So it's not been very bad.
And how's the Gambia? How does it feel?
The Gambia, it's nice. It's the mango season in Gambia and, ooh, you know, you get to do your breakfast with mango and then I love it.
Nice. Wow. I was going to ask you on the other project you went home to work on, but it's okay. I guess this is I think I can relate to that sleeping part. I feel like my body was storing up all the exhaustion like in the last semester, such that now I'm not relieving the exhaustion because I don't understand why I'm tired. I'm practically not doing anything at the moment and I feel very sleepy and tired all the time. So yeah, I can relate. Isaac, how's it been? I know you finished in December. How's it been like since you went back home?
I would say it's been très bien, more like I'm very good in French. And I guess it's been a good time really. Just time for me to relax, just like I'm Wuye. And also a time to reconnect with family, friends, and also reflect on what I really want to do. So, yeah, très bien.
Amazing. I can really relate with that, connecting with family and friends. It's really deep.
Okay.
How about you, Pina?
So for me, I think since I also finished in December, I had enough time with my folks. Okay, I can't say enough because it's never enough. So I spent 37 days. at home with my family, and it was amazing. And I got time to, you know, think about what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just moving forward and hoping I get something nice along the way.
Sure.
As you go.
Pina.
Pina.
Which is what?
After publishing the, that amazing paper, I thought you figured out what you really want to do. What now again?
I don't understand. After we
No. It's not that straightforward. I think I feel like fine. That would be the direction, but which program do you want to take? So that's what I mean by I want to know. I'm kind of thinking of what to do exactly. So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I guess life is not just like a destination kind of thing, you know? You sort of figure it out as you go along the way. Anyways, lovely, lovely preamble. So diving right into it. In this episode, we're going to be talking about like how it's been or how it was actually as an international student here in Rwanda, you know, first impressions, culture shock, things you missed the most about home. And so I'll just read in all the questions and we can just make this as conversational as possible. Yeah. So what was your first impression on getting to Rwanda? I'll start. I am Nigerian and I used to live in Lagos, which is one of the very, it's quite chaotic. So coming in, you know, the airport experience, you know, even coming in, I was just also like, it was chaotic, you know, to say the least. And just coming to Rwanda, I think the calm is the first thing that shocked me. Everyone in the airport, everyone with their uniforms, nobody's hustling, I didn't have to pay for the trolley. I was just amazed. And then we got on the road and the whole place was so clean. Even I think I got in around 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. here. And I was really amazed. Like, even at night, I could see that everywhere was clean, you know? So I think that was like my first impression of Rwanda. My first impressions of Rwandans would be like another experience. But yeah, that was my first impression of Rwanda. So guys, what was your first impression of on getting to Rwanda?
Let me talk about Manyabugogo experience. So, yes. So for us, we decided let's just take a bus and come, and you know, you travel through Uganda and then come to Rwanda. So we came by bus. I think it was the four of us, and we had it's a 24-hour journey, 21 to 24 hour with a few stops, and it was fun because we were able to see the, you know, the different countries, and we would talk and compare. But so I'd always heard about Rwanda because as an East African, of course, we talk about each other's countries, but I'd never really known how it was. So when we landed at Nyabugogo, I was like, ah, is this the Rwanda they talk about? Because it felt like downtown Nairobi. Ah, but then let's come to Kigali, the main city, and I was so surprised. It looked so clean. It actually looked everything that I'd read about, and I was quite impressed. But what I talk about with my friends and family about Kigali is how I got the feeling like this is home. And I remember when we crossed the border, and in Kenya and Uganda, we drive on the left, but in Rwanda, they drive on the right.
Right, yeah.
So I was wondering, hey, is this driver, does this driver want to cause an accident? What's going on? But then I'm like, I'm seeing cars actually moving, like this is something normal.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I was looking outside the window. I was really mesmerized by everything. Unfortunately, it was at night. But I had this calm feeling that this is a place I love being in. And from that day, the first day I landed in Rwanda, I have loved this place. Yeah, so that's my day one experience.
Oh, that's really cool. I actually looked forward to like the road trip. Well, I don't know, for some reason, COVID has spoils my plans. I don't know if it will be possible for me to do it again before I leave, but hopefully, hopefully, hopefully. Weir, what was your first impression? I know that you've been like an international Yaster boy, you know, global. And then you traveled to many countries before Rwanda. So what was your first impression?
Actually, before coming to CM, you had the chance to come to, I went to Rwanda in, I think it was 2018.
I told you guys.
It was like for a summit or something like that. And yeah, you know, you usually hear about Rwanda often, especially in Gambia, people giving it as an example of, let's say, the cleanest city in Africa and stuff like that. So once you get there, obviously, those are the things that you're looking out for. And when I got there, it was like in the night, and you know, we're picked from the airport, and on the roads, you know, as people say, it was true, you know, you're trying to validate what people have been saying all along. And it was exciting to see and doing some comparison to the other places I've been. And yeah, I would say that Rwanda is really, really doing a great job. Yeah, so I mean, because it was the night, there was not much to see. The place was quite generally, but it was also green, which in comparison to Gambia is not the case. And yeah, I guess that's when I started liking the place.
Amazing, amazing. How about you, Kofi, or Fiji's? Sorry.
So before coming, I had some friends who were Rwandese, and I guess they told me the same story. You know, Rwanda is beautiful, you know, with a few hills. Actually, there are more than 1,000 hills, so it sounded like a perfect place for me. So I came and then I actually validated it also. But I guess one thing that I was a bit shocked at first was the car number plates. So usually when I travel to a new country, what I do usually is to look at the car plate and then see if there's some pattern, you know. But I looked at the car plates here in Rwanda and I realized most of the ending number starts, you know, A, B, C. But in Ghana, we've moved from A, B. I think we are now in the numbers. So 2021, 20, and 2019. So I saw the car was having like ZWX, that should be like 2016, 2006 or 2007 cars. So I was very shocked. It's like, hold on, like, are people still driving these very old cars? So yeah, I guess that was my initial impression. But I made few inquiry and realized it was just issue with convention and naming. And currently they've not reached the number yet. So hopefully in the next few years they will get to the 2021 and then the other numbers.
That's quite a very interesting observation. I don't think I've noticed that even till now. Weird. Anyways, thank you. So were there any culture shocks? I know that Kenya is not very different from from Rwanda. Well, maybe in terms of like culture or like pace. I know Nairobi can be crazy, similar to Lagos. But were there any like culture shocks, like in terms of food? So maybe I'll start. So for instance, I thought like Africa was just one big continent, you know, we're all one big family, that kind of thing. So I didn't really bother to bring any food. You know, I was just packing clothes as if I was coming here to get married, packing and packing and packing and packing. I just like never packed like food or anything like that. So it was really a shock on getting here, realizing that.
Okay.
So like I realized that like it was really quite a shock that there was no like gari and was so expensive. So if I knew, I would have traded like, I would have traded like half of my clothes for food, because at the end of the day, even before COVID, I wasn't wearing the clothes anyway. Even the man I was coming to meet here, the marriage hey, I was man. Supposed to marry.
Hold on. Which man?
That's what I'm saying. I was packing my clothes.
I thought you were.
Ozzy has been looking for someone since.
Hold on. No, I remember Ozzy made reference to President Paul Kagame's son or so. Like, were you able to pursue that dream?
That was before COVID threw me off balance. I was really focused, and I feel like I was close. I was really close to making friends with the rural family, but let's blame COVID.
By the way, where did you try to find Gary in Kigali?
I heard
was
that
there
was
a place where this.
No, it wasn't a place. I heard that there was this, I don't know, African store I saw on Vuba Vuba afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I like, yeah, it was expensive. I think one kg was like 8k. I'm like, what? No. I'm not using my money to buy that. So yeah, I suffered so much. And then when I went in December, it was now like the opposite. So I almost did not carry any clothes. And then I carried so much food. And then, you know, when you carry so much food, the smell of the fish is following you around the airport. And everybody's stopping you to open your box. It was really suffering. At the end, I don't know if it was worth it, but yeah, that was one major culture shock, the food. And also like the fact that everybody...
Ozzy.
Yeah.
Before you continue, I think I have some profound story about food. So, you know, Ghanaian, you also like Gary, and I think that was December. So when the new class group was coming, we asked them to bring some food stuff. So, I mean, we ordered food, you know, Gary, beans, rice, peanut, everything. Yeah. Now they came, they brought the food, and then I was like, okay, how much? Can you believe the cost of shipping those food items was $115? Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
Imagine eating a cup of Gary for like $115. Like, we should have just bought it from Kimironko Market.
Yeah.
Spending $100, like, right now, it's a taboo. It's a taboo in our house group. You don't discuss that one. Like,
wait, is it because of the extra luggage or what?
It's the extra luggage.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that as well.
Yeah, it's actually expensive carrying things over.
Oh, so they charge custom duty at the airport for food?
No. For like the extra luggage.
Weight, like...
Yeah, per weight and all of that.
Okay. That's interesting.
$115 for Gary.
I actually remember that experience and Pages actually got like, you know, these burgers. Pages, what do you guys call them?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about.
In case a burger.
I asked Pages about that. He gave me just one.
Man.
I don't think he gave me. I was so embarrassed to even beg. Like, I think even in Lagos, it's been a while since I had that burger last. So seeing it was just like, Chris was just wearing it on his forehead, on his status. I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah. And they put that thing like, oxygen inside it. That thing was so
actually
funny.
Actually the name is Boxygen. Burger plus oxygen.
Yeah, because of too much air.
There's too much air. Imagine suffering to bring something like that over only for it to be half air.
But you know.
So yeah,
I'm paying $115.
Sorry, Pages, I'm so sorry. So yeah. Yeah, that was one major culture shock. So any other culture shocks apart from food, you guys?
I think mine was also about the food. I think mostly, you know, you're used to pepe and stuff, and then what you get at the restaurant, it's like, wow, it's so different. So you have to go and add more pepe for yourself. Yeah.
For me, the other thing is haircuts. So one thing that I realized was, I guess most of the ladies that I saw had their hair trimmed like you know, literally, usually in back home, like people would braid their hair, but here I think it was much the proportion, like compared to those who braid their hair and then those who actually cut it, like I think there's some big difference over there. And my personal experience was I went to this barbering shop. I mean,
before you go on, I would like to know, of all the things you have to do in CME, how come you were really noticing the ladies? Like,
sorry?
Don't you remember Peter used to carry a comb?
Yeah, even me, I never really noticed the ladies, the proportion of who's having low cut. I'm really surprised. I just wanted to put that out there. Anyways, continue.
I mean, I was so surprised too. Like, it's something that literally comes up when I work, yeah. So,
Pages and good grooming. What same WhatsApp group?
Yeah, no. Like he was always with his comb. At the point, I wondered, but I just gave up like trying to ask. So, yeah, the barber story.
Yeah, well, I went to the barbering shop, and then the guy, I usually don't trust in the barbers, like whether you're good or not. So, I went to the guy. that guy gave me this West African haircut, and it doesn't look West African, and I was bored. I was like, maybe if I get a line in it, it will look, you know, presentable. Hey. The guy, instead of giving me a line, he gave me a pothole. Like, you can actually pass through that line in my hair. And after that, I didn't go back to him. It's like, you can't just be playing with my hair. I ended business with him. Like,
oh my God, that's so funny.
Wait, the line was like the road to...
It was like...
That road up the same.
Yeah.
It was all type of erosion, gear erosion, gully erosion, all those big, big erosions. Like.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I noticed that the services were very different. So for instance, when you go to an eatery and you go to eat in Lagos, it's possible that when you get there, you like get served very, maybe not very immediately, depending on what you want to eat, but it is common practice here to like, you will honestly wait, you know, you will, if you went out with someone and you were hoping to use the food as cover up for the conversation, it will just flop because you would so have that conversation, you know, and then the pace at which people did things, even in the banks, everyone was so calm, taking their time. It is admirable, but it was quite a culture shock for me.
Yeah. Ozzy, I thought you were coming to share your Lagos bus experience. Like, you couldn't find any bus here, like, sweating please, in the please, bus. Like, please. It wasn't shock
I'm,
for you.
Please, I'm a global girl. Pages. I just want to talk my past. I'm now global, please.
Okay. Yeah, sorry then.
But yeah, of course, there were no, like, yellow buses, no tro-tro here. Everybody filing. I don't even shade my Lagos. Pages, I know of tro-tro in Ghana. I know they are not fancy anyways.
We are here, so me,
I'm not, you know.
Imagine getting here and I had to buy a card. Imagine nobody was collecting money, no conductor shouting over your head. I mean, it was quite a culture shock, but yeah, really cool. So any other ones we've missed out, Pina? I mean, coming from Kenya, which is already within East Africa.
Yeah, so for me, I actually find the chili in Rwanda quite spicy Kabanga. Compared to the one not a Kabanga, Urusenda. It's a bit more, it's a bit stronger than what we have in Kenya. In Kenya we have the green and red chili. I don't think I've seen Urusenda in Kenya. Probably it's there, but you know, in Kenya we also have so many Nigerians, so probably we have that Urusenda.
Yeah,
all in all, I think
that was really one thing about that too. Because even when I noticed, like in Nigeria, you can use like 10 of those small red pepper to make, but here, hey, use 10. Two. I'm telling you, like if you use two, hey, your mouth is on fire. You are like, who sent me?
Yeah, that thing is it's rather strong. So, so we don't have Urusenda, but we have the green and red chilies. And also, I find that the buffet in Rwanda has so many carbs compared to the stews. In Kenya, you'd find you have different kinds of meat, different kind of veggies, and then maybe one or two starches. And then, of course, the idea of potatoes and beans, that's also the same thing in Kenya. Although as we don't mix them, we have them separately. Something else that shocked me is the housing structure. So in Kenya, you find that, I think that's a culture thing. In Rwanda, you find that I think most people either live as, they stay at home with their parents until probably they get married. And if you move out, I think you can afford a home that has like three rooms or something.
Yeah.
Back in Kenya, we have apartments, like one bedroomed apartments, where single people or people who are coming from another country, like it would be suitable accommodation as opposed to staying in a six bedroomed house. So I found that a bit different. And well, it looks like Rwanda is trying to adopt that because they're also opening up to the foreign market. So probably 5 years down the line, it would be a bit different from what it is now. But when I came in, I found that to be a bit weird because you'd expect. So I was thinking, like, all the students at University of Rwanda, what, where do they stay? Do they all go back home?
Yeah, I thought about that as well.
Yeah, exactly. So those, I think that's what I found different, mm-hmm. but I can't call it a shock per se.
Yeah.
I think I looked at it as, I tried to understand why would they prefer to have homes instead of, you know, the flats that we have in urban centers.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, that was it for me. Oh, let me tell you something else.
Okay, tell us.
I've just remembered. So when we came, I'm Catholic. So the first time we went to church,
mm-hmm.
you see this random dancing style, yeah? They lift their hands up.
Yeah.
And then the horse.
Oh, I forgot
what
the
cow.
Exactly. So in Catholic, we are rather, you know, calm and composed. So we get to the point where we are singing a Thanksgiving song, and the whole church, everyone is lifting their hands. So I ask Jesus. So I was sitting next to Jesus. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Are people so holy in this place? Like, they're lifting their hands in praise and everything is going on. And then I realized
it's a random dancing
style. Yeah, so I found that that's rather unique.
Yeah, and one thing that I also want to add is the night walking fitness kind of habits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like it's so interesting. Like, I think almost every evening you find someone doing exercise in, you know, along the streets or, you know, climbing the hill, uh-huh. and, you know, just trying to keep fit. And there's this interesting culture which I realized that's carefree day. So
yeah.
I think every 2 weeks interval or so, like, people just walk and then, like, they just go out to the city center, mm-hmm. all sorts of activities, skating, cycling, jogging, running, mm-hmm. somersaulting, all kinds of activities. And mm-hmm. it was quite interesting.
Somersaulting, really, Pages?
did I really say that?
Fitness thing is really, because even like when you're passing, people are clapping for you, cheering you on. In Lagos, someone is probably trying to like push you off the way, like, you don't have any job. Why are you trying to run? Why are you running?
Why are you running?
But here it's a culture, even like older people, you know, like old,
older people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what Bukuna would say. Bukuna,
as usual.
Oh, but really, the exercise culture in Rwanda is quite interesting. So I was just randomly thinking, if these guys were to compete in the Olympics, I don't know what we will do as Kenyans, because that has been our our thing. But I think the Rwandan culture, them exercising during the carefree day, the Umuganda,
there's a marathon.
I find that very interesting.
Yeah. There's a peace marathon coming up on Sunday.
That explains why there are not too many obese people, you know, in Rwanda.
Yeah, maybe. Like, honestly, it's really interesting, because even in terms of like food, so I noticed like what Pina was saying. There might be like carbs in terms of like rice and potatoes, but like, this is the first time where I see, like, if you go to like a regular home, you would definitely have like more veggies in your plate than you would if you went to like a place in Lagos. I don't know if it's the same across West Africa. You are having like jollof rice, fried rice, chicken, cow leg, this one, which is like the average Rwandan family or meal, or even like when you go to restaurants, you have like peas, you have beans, you have the carrots and what. So I think I found that very interesting, and you're very correct. That's probably why you don't see like as many, you know, obese people, or, you know, compared to other countries. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yes, I now understand why I'm slim.
What is the explanation, Pages?
Pages.
I'll be running and walking.
Okay.
Oh my God.
But you are doing more bike riding.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is occasional.
I remember that in Lagos, whenever they do like the Lagos Marathon, it's really annoying. It's always like a Kenyan. Kenyans are like maybe third or fourth. And it's no shock, because we and our Eba. You will find someone
that thing.
Seen one serious Eba the night before, you want to run marathon with the Kenyan.
But I think I need to put it out there that it's not all Kenyans. That run.
That's
a specific community.
Yeah. That's the stereotype, actually. Like, I used to feel like most Kenyans, all Kenyans are like feet, they can run.
Yes, I remember there's a day we went for the was it a car-free day, or there was the Kigali Marathon last, mm-hmm. was it 2019 or 2020? So I went with, as usual, Mubarak and Tayo. Mm. Man, I just decided, let me walk. Let me not embarrass a whole country.
I can't come and kill myself.
Yeah.
Cannot come and kill myself.
The topography here is actually quite different. I remember that the first month, in fact, it was still during orientation. It was actually Ines that took me to the hospital. I thought I was like sick. So they ran all the tests and they realized there's nothing wrong. But I was having like breathing issues because you know how like you want to just go to, I don't know if you remember, I think it was myself and we, that community we first came, went to, do you remember? Where we met with women with cracks. Oh my God. Mm. I was going up that thing and I actually almost passed out, like just by walking on the road. And I saw like children running up and down the hills. I was like, oh my God. Mm. Yeah, so the topography as well.
Yeah,
so anyways, moving on quickly. So what would you say you loved the most about your stay as an international student? You know, in Rwanda and also the CME Africa experience as an international student, what would you say you loved the most? And what do you think could be like better?
I guess it's about the people, like at CMU. You realize that we are all different and that makes us unique. So essentially celebrating diversity was I think it stood out for me. And the other thing that I loved as an international student was getting to rekindle my chef Lamdaren skills. You know what I'm talking about.
Chef Lambda, spending 30 minutes just to season a boiled egg.
Charlie, let's not talk about that.
And then there's nothing at the end of the video.
Please don't deceive the audience, but it's okay.
Nah, I mean that apron was for a good purpose, which I served, you know, very well. Yeah, so the cooking, the people, and also I guess it was that's when I started my cycling career, you know, as a cyclist. One thing that I would want to improve, I think that one is more general because we are from different countries. Probably there might be some aspects of our culture that is not known. Like it takes the native to actually tell you explicitly that, hey, this is what is done in my country. So initiative like the cultural nights, I think could be encouraged for sensitivity and awareness. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I hope could be continued is topics of, you know, like we say they're the top 5% African leaders and they are interesting conversations that are coming up, you know, ethics, women in leadership.
Yeah.
Please, toxicity and other things.
We hear you. Don't worry. We hear you.
So it was quite interesting. Like we don't get time to discuss, you know, distance. Even as a class or more like as clique. So if we could be intentional about those kind of discussions, I guess that could improve. So you have your academic experience, that one is provided by CMU, like, and also being groomed into this very nice African leader who understands this emerging topics. Yeah. I guess that would be good.
Yeah, that's quite
amazing.
Can I jump in? I think my
CMU. I've dropped, so you don't want to jump. Just continue.
Pages, the language. Hello. Not. So for me, I think what was interesting about my international experience, or rather at CMU, was how I was able to interact with everyone at different times. And I would emphasize more on the potlucks we used to have. I think we've had so many at our house.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't know. I feel like when we are outside school and everyone is
relaxed.
Can I say in their zone? Mm-hmm. And we're there, we're cooking together, we're sharing things. You tend to realize that we are so much alike than we are different.
Yeah.
And I remember Pina's salad. That one, I knew she would bring it.
Hey, but you people, you talk about my salad. Even me, I don't know it.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Okay. So, and to put more emphasis on that is, it's something I've seen posted somewhere online that small talk is actually big talk. You realize every time you're hanging out with people, you actually don't talk about serious stuff. Yeah. But it's like what you say in my community, that friendship takes... Okay, let me translate it directly. Friendship is steps. it takes steps to make a friendship stronger or to bond more. Mm-hmm. So the first time we come for a potluck, we are shy. We don't even know what to talk to what to tell each other. Then into the night, we are playing charades and everyone is excited. And slowly but slowly, I think we bonded in a way that when we went back to class and to do our activities, it was so easy to interact because, I mean, I was cooking with this guy the other time. Yeah. I now know how to make a loaf. Mm-hmm. I now know how to make this. I now know how to make that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like food brought us closer. And it was really, really amazing. At some point, I couldn't even tell who is Ghanaian, who is Lesotho, who is Zimbabwean. Also, the fact that we lived together as different, as people from different countries, that also helped. Mm-hmm. But one thing maybe I would like to improve if I went to another kind of similar kind of setting is you tend, when you're from a different country, when you go to, let's say the way we came to Rwanda, you find that you're looking for another Kenyan, you know, because you're tired of speaking English.
If you're the only one from your country,
please, where you'd have to tell us.
You just join anyone. You don't even.
You know, the funny thing is, like, when I first came as well, you know, that's the mindset you're coming with. That this place now. Let me look for Nigerians to move with, and I specifically made it a point of duty to ensure that I wasn't living with, like. You know the way when we came, we're looking for a house, everybody's like, oh, the Ghanaian house, the Nigerian house,
the Kenyan people, house.
Like, people like, we're roaming, they didn't know where to go, but Nigerians were able to take him in. But yeah, so I made it a point of contact, a point of duty when I was coming that I didn't want to, like, because at the end of the day, right, you go back to your country, you'll never have the opportunity to be with these people anymore. And for me, I realized that when I was coming, I was very short-circuited. That means, like, I really struggled with tolerating a lot of people, vulnerable moments here. I just struggled with, like, I'm like, why are you not doing this the right way? But living with people from, I don't know, I had someone from in our first house, Kenya, Somali, Benin, Cameroon, Rwandan,
Ghana.
No, I never lived with Ghanaians.
Ghanaians were living on their own.
Yeah, they were on their own. Yeah,
please, we had Ella.
Ella eventually left.
Ozzy,
don't let me bring up this issue. You snatching our housemate from us because of Konkonta.
Why did you people let her go? Why did she come? That's a deep question. Reflect over.
Why did she come? Mm-hmm. No, why did you pull her? Like,
But yeah, so I think that was one thing and it was really good because now you learn how to tolerate people from different places. Not everybody. In some cultures, not everybody washes their plates right after eating. And it's not like they are lazy. It might be a culture thing. Honestly, people are laughing. It might be a culture thing because at the point, I was really confused. And in some cultures, some people cook a certain way, you know. So it was just a really, really experience. I really, really enjoyed, like, living with people. I really enjoyed it.
Ozzy, are you saying when you eat, you don't wash your plate or what?
I'm even wondering which culture is that.
Which culture, like in this African continent?
That culture cannot be in Africa, please.
I tell you.
No, what I'm trying to say is actually it's not a culture thing. I'm just talking about like personality traits.
Yeah,
learning to actually deal with people. You know, it was very important for me. Yeah, but I think one thing that can be improved is like what Paige said in terms of like like Pina said, you know, that potluck thing was good, but there were some people, for instance, I don't remember. Pina never invited
me. Wuye.
What?
Some people did not just invite me for their parties. I don't know. At the point, I was asking Wuye, am I not a cool kid? Am I not cool? Don't I know how to dance? Am I a horrible dancer? Why are you people not inviting me? So I noticed that even in the midst of those potluck and all those things, there were still like some cliques and all. But they invite me for the book, Shah, for the, maybe I was in there, but for the cooking, salad. Pages, did you invite me? Oh, Pages invited me.
But then we never met in any potluck, Ozzy.
Yeah, people were not inviting me. Like, I would just hear.
No,
I would just
Ozzy will come late.
Status.
She will come late.
No. Like, I'll just sit on people's status, phone time. I'm like, am I not a student? What's going on? Why don't you people invite me? But yeah, maybe I wasn't, I don't know, maybe I was all into my books as well. So, yeah. So
but I think with relationships, it's safe to say that you can't really be with everyone. Not that there's a problem or that there's a problem between you and someone else, but there's just that side you're drawn to. Or you find yourself more often.
Yeah,
because then again, it would be.
Why were people not drawing to me?
No, actually, you had Tonya, you had Rama.
They were my housemates. I'm talking about like.
You actually used to come to your house. I think I've eaten at your house. Maybe you weren't there.
I've eaten there before. I've eaten the jollof.
I've never tasted all this food. And I'm looking forward to when
stop lying. Pages, have you never been to a house? I don't understand
you. Oh, the only experience I have is that hot jollof, like the one I couldn't even eat as a Ghanaian. Like,
okay, we'll be moving on. I think Pages is the first one. And Pages made a very important point about like actually discussing things, because even in terms of like understanding and tolerating people's culture. Mm-hmm. Sexuality, gender issues, religious tolerance. I feel like we can do more in terms of cultural dance. Day was cool, but we danced mostly. But I think we can, you know, some of these discussions, because it's very important as individuals and also as potential African leaders, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to have a leader that is not like tolerant, and you know, that's where the whole idea of, you know, especially religious ethnic wars can come from. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so we're wrapping up. So I would say, any words to international students or people coming from your country? I know I'm hoping that even like new students will be listening to this. Do you have any words for them? I will start first. So, fellow Nigerians, hey, your people.
you are giving a presidential speech. Continue.
Hello, my country people. Oh, you people, when you come, like, you have to learn to calm down. Like, pour cold water and calm down. Because I noticed that you can just be very angry. You know, like, you go to the bank, everybody's just calm. They are taking their... At the point, I'm like, do you want me to sleep here? Will I sleep here? Because I don't understand you. But you have to learn to calm down. And then the second thing I'll say is, if you like food like me, try and, you know, trade some clothes. These clothes you're coming, you're not coming to marry. Anyways, your own might be different. You might find your Fatima here, like some people do.
Wuye,
why did
you get last, you just get a Fatima.
I don't understand, Ozzy.
Wait, I don't understand. Is Fatima exclusive to you? Why did you scream like that, Wuye?
Me, I've been having personal conversations with Wuye, and I don't want to leak his private information.
Wow.
To
yeah, let's talk about that.
Let me not
talk about it after.
Yeah, let's talk
after.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can show you that the wedding is soon.
You might be listening to the podcast later.
I don't know if Fatima has arrived, but she's still on her way.
Ozzy, you should edit this part.
Please, Ozzy.
Okay, we'll see.
The speed at which we left Kigali.
Surprising, but let's try and focus. So I'd say, like, Nigerians, you know, take it easy with your, you know, understand that, you know, this place, especially if you're from Lagos. Then two, you can come with food. Just make sure you don't have like too many clothes. You don't really need too much. And here can be cold. Sometimes if you are from the west, right? Pages, it can be cold. So you want to come with thick clothing as well. And here is not, I know like Nigerians, Lagosians, we are pretty, we are often always in celebratory mood, you know, always wearing heels. I've never even seen, I can count the number of times people walking with heels on the road. It's not really a thing.
Ozzy, are you really going to wear heels on the streets with a staring attitude?
Honestly, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like a common thing even in Lagos, like in Nigeria, like you're going to church. Even like when I got here and I went to church the first time, I saw people on jeans. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like back home, church is church, you know? So with the gingo, with the scarf, with the shoe, everything. But here people like just wear jeans and everybody's normal. So not like we're not normal back home, but I'm just saying
you just said it, but anyway.
Yeah, so that's what I would say. You guys can go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Should I go ahead?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, so I would say, okay, I'm not even sure if some Gambians are coming anyway.
Fatima's little sister.
Pages, you have to be serious. This is like a very serious part, you know?
Okay.
We are giving advice to people, so. All right. So I would say that one thing is like when having communications with other people from other countries, I noticed that like the, at least the first time I went to Ghana, when I speak with people, they make me repeat myself twice or thrice because they don't get what I'm saying. So don't get offended by that. It's because of different accents and stuff like that. It may be hard for people to understand you in the first instance. So just calm down and repeat yourself. And if you don't understand what they are saying, also just ask them to repeat themselves politely. I would say, yeah, in addition to what Ozzy said.
Lovely.
Yeah. I'm sorry for my fellow Ghanaians letting you repeat yourself like 100 times. Sorry. And so yes, we've been discussing issues of cultural shocks, you know, blah blah blah. And if you may be tempted to see them as hurdles or difficulties.
Yeah.
But I guess quotes like, a good leader is the one who finds opportunities in difficulties, not difficulties in opportunities. So if you come here and then you find that the food is bad, start cooking. If you miss your favorite sports, you know, you can start one, you can start a club. If you're not comfortable with social outings, I guess it's now the time to you know, get rid of that fear and then just be yourself. So really the other thing would follow suit once you have this mindset, like turning difficulties into opportunity. Yeah.
That's really valuable advice. Thank you, Pidgeys. Pina?
Sure.
Yeah. So for me, what I'd say is I read somewhere that one of the easiest way to travel is through education. So like education has brought you, my fellow Kenyan, to Rwanda. So whenever you have some free time, go to Lake Muhazi, go to Rubavu. I hope there won't be eruptions from Nyiragongo then. And just like I find that it's easier to travel when you already have something you're doing in a certain country.
Yeah.
So now that education has brought you to Rwanda, make sure you also become a tourist if you can.
Yeah.
And also, as I'd said earlier, yeah, it's Rwanda is a small country, so you can travel. If you have a plan, you can travel far and wide.
Yeah.
And hopefully, once the borders open, you can even travel wider and further. So another thing I'd say is, as a Kenyan, you get, the rest of us have said, you find like you're drawn to your people because you can speak some Swahili, some Sheng, and you know, maybe your mother tongue with someone else.
And Pidgin.
But also, yeah, because there are many. So, but then try also to, you know, have friends outside your country, whatever frame.
Mm.
It's good. It opens you up. You start thinking differently because there's some things we think about in Kenya, some mindsets that we have. But then you meet some other people, and like for me, I can say nowadays I'm a very patient person.
Yeah.
I sit, yeah, you know, like if I sit in the bus and I just wait. But if I was in Kenya, I'd be asking the conductor, why are we not leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't. I'm too time conscious. So there are things that you learn along the way, but be open, of course. And as the rest have said, please don't be angry, because most of middle income countries, we find that things move a little bit faster.
Yeah.
So when you come to Rwanda, be patient. I think that's all I can tell a Kenyan coming to Rwanda.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Thank you so much, Mila. I mean, you guys have all said it. I think, you know, key things, be open-minded, enjoy your international student experience, because this is graduate school, so you might not be like doing graduate school again if you're not like going on to do PhD. So you want to ensure you're maximizing it. You don't know when next you'll be in an environment with as many people as, and you might think like these skills don't matter, but they are transferable skills. There are things you can actually put on your CV that, or in an SOP, that my school was a multicultural school, and therefore I was able to understand people of different backgrounds. Another thing I was also going to say was in terms of what Wuye said about like language. I remember that one of the things that marked me down at the area, was it area or district? I don't remember, Toastmasters competition, was they didn't really hear most of the things I was saying. I was cracking jokes. It was the, I don't know, comedy one. So I was cracking jokes and laughing, but like, they couldn't catch up with what I was saying, because apparently
the jokes were on you.
No.
Literally.
You see?
Yeah?
Context. The context of a joke may not be understood by someone who is from another region.
Yeah, I know.
So probably your language was okay.
I actually got specific like feedback. You know how it is, like, you know, in Toastmasters, mm-hmm. I got specific feedback that he struggled with hearing me. Yeah, so there's also the issue of context in terms of like what's funny in Ghana might not exactly be funny in Rwanda, or what's funny in Gambia might not be funny in Nigeria. But that one was specifically called out, like, you were speaking too fast. Do you want to like slow down?
Mm.
Yeah. So it was really painful for me, Sha. You know, you just all the jokes.
Sorry.
But yeah, again, sorry. You don't want to take offense when people point out things. Not because like, I mean, it hurts because, oh, I lost out on the competition, but I didn't take offense. Like, Yusef, why did you not open your ear? So like, when somebody asks you to repeat yourself, you don't want to be like upset. And then a funny story as well. I don't know if it's an East African thing, but Rwandans kind of like to touch. They are hugging, they are doing the cheeks kissing.
I think that's a French culture. In Kenya, if you hug someone, I think you're really close.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Like, I remember
we don't have that.
The first night I got to Hilltop, you know, we had just come in from, first of all, I was stressed from the journey, you know, and I'm not really a fan of like flying like that. Maybe because I don't have money yet. And I'm still flying in economy. Maybe that's why. But I'm not really like, I did like, the trip was really stressful on my body. So when I got back down, I was still trying to like adjust myself. And then this Rwandan classmate of ours, I'm not going to call her name. Now I said, how you people will be counting in your head, but that's your problem. And she comes up to me at the reception and she hugs like the other Nigerian I came with. And she's doing the side kiss. Mwah, mwah. Like, by the time she got to me, I'm just like, I just stretched out my hand and I'm like, please, let's respect let's respect ourselves, because like, I wasn't used to all of that. And I actually remember a friend of mine, a Kenyan friend, who actually got offended, like when she wanted to like do that. And I'm like, yo, please, I'm not really like, I'm not even like,
oh man, our culture is so, I'm telling you, so in different. Kenya, for you to hug, you know, if you hug someone, if someone hugs you in front of your parents and it's a guy,
hey,
man, they automatically think that's your husband to be.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
So yeah, it's that, like, I think we are so aloof in terms of
physical touch.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know. But I find it very interesting because they do it so subconsciously.
Yeah.
They're hugging someone a few minutes later, pecks all over. So it's rather interesting.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting and it's admirable, but I just never got to that point where I felt comfortable with it. Yeah, maybe later in future. Or maybe when I meet President's son as I'm planning to.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Go ahead, Pidgeys.
I think with this COVID lockdown, social distance, you guys are happy about the physical touch issue.
Yes. But honestly, I won't lie. At a point, I started to really admire it. You see, the thing is, like, when you've been too single for long, I'm not talking about myself. I'm just trying to...
People tend to tell on themselves.
I can relate. Continue.
You can't relate.
Pages, you can't relate. Please.
Pages, you can't relate.
Are you me?
We know you.
Do you know what we know?
Since you guys know me more than I know myself.
You know?
Know when you've been single for so long. Any hug, especially when it's from like your crush in CMU, you're like, yeah, someone.
Hey.
Bring it in. But yeah, thankfully, I didn't really have many crushes, just a few. Yeah, they were changing. So I thank God. And yeah.
Ozzy.
Before we talk.
Ozzy.
We'll
get our
certificates. We're rounding up now, Pidgeys.
Okay, that's fine. Continue.
Thank you so much, guys. Like, this was so much fun. I hope that amidst our jokes and gisting, you were able to pick one or two things if you're going as an international student to any school or particularly to CMU Africa. If you're a new student, we wish you all the best and we hope that you have as much fun in Rwanda as possible. Alrighty, so bye-bye everybody and thank you. Guys, say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.